You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we're back to talk more The Walking Dead : The Ones Who Live on AMC, episode 3, called Bye. And this one, I guess it was right in the title, Aurora, they immediately tried to say goodbye. They spent 2 episodes talking about how inescapable this place is, and you better not escape, and don't escape whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And this show begins with a flashback to, well, it begins with kind of like 3 mini flashbacks. It's like years ago, a few days ago, and like right now, that sort of thing.
Right, right.
But as I'm about to tell you or read to you, Jadis is like, Rick, you can't leave. And here are the very threatening reasons why you can't leave. And he's like, okay, I'm going to draw up a plan to leave. And right. I was like, whoa, we are not wasting time, but okay. In a flashback, Jadis approaches Rick at Millennium Park and explains her people's deal with the CRM and her intention to sign up. However, Rick is only interested in escaping. After returning to the base, Rick enlists Thorne's help in successfully getting Michonne into the consignment program. But Jadis warns Rick that if Rick and Michonne escape, she is going to have to kill everyone that he loves for the purposes of security and for her own security, because she knows everything and she can't risk the CRM finding out that she knows who they mm-hmm. are. Rick attempts to help Michonne escape on her own, but she refuses to go without him. While touring Millennium Park on her own, Michonne meets the artist who created Rick's engraved iPhones and finds new hope. After receiving the Echelon briefing, the revelation that all of the CRM secrets and a promotion, or the revelation of all of the CRM secrets and a promotion, Thorne becomes unsure of whether to follow in Okafor's footsteps, reluctantly enlisting Michonne's help for the mission. When Michonne goes rogue during the Walker fight, Thorne nearly kills her, and Rick ends the relationship in an attempt to protect her. Having earned Major General Beale's trust, Rick is slated to receive a promotion and the Echelon briefing in advance of the summit of the CRM's entire leadership. However, Michonne throws herself and Rick off of a helicopter in a daring mid-air escape on the return trip. Mm. Crazy ending. Aurora, what did you think of episode 3?
I will be 100% honest with you. I am loving this show.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
me too. There was a moment, so there's that moment where they are attempting to escape. And Rick is going ahead of Michonne and kind of like setting up the path for her to go through.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I love that so much. The way that it was shot, the way that it, like, her smirk, like everything that she, I just love that so much that I literally said out loud, I love this.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I feel like this is a, I don't care about romantic movies or TV shows, and for me this is romance. Like, he's setting her up to like not be attacked by any walkers, and she's just going through, and I thought that was really romantic. So yeah, I love that. I love the fact that he keeps trying to make her understand that she has to go, And she just keeps coming back and saying, no, she's not giving up on him. So I love the theme of the show.
Yeah. We get an explanation in this episode about the, or at least a little more clarification. Maybe they explained it before, but I didn't really understand it so much.
Okay.
But like the rankings that they do with like the A, B, C, like whatever those rankings
are. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finally makes some sense now. So if you're labeled an A, like you can join the CRM because right. they want people who, and I guess these are like alpha, beta, right. like descriptors. Mm-hmm. They don't want people living in the city who are A's. Because mm-hmm. they don't want people, you know, they want a very status quo thing sort of kept. They want all of the leader type people to be in the military, but they don't want yeah. them to be among the regular people because they don't want anybody stirring any sort of problems or trouble or anything yeah. like that. They also
mentioned in this episode that A's are not going to be the type of people that want to live in the city.
That's what they say.
Read books and do all that stuff. Like, they are going to want to do more.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose that is true to an extent. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you took Michonne with her... Like, Michonne is definitely an A by their definition.
Oh, 100%.
But...
She's an A+.
Yeah. I mean, she demonstrates that a bunch in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But... I feel like she's doing that because she has to. She's doing that to survive. She's doing that for her kids and for the people that she loves, for her family. But if she didn't have to do that, she seems like somebody who would be content to just live a life. I feel like she's only doing this because she doesn't have any other option to do it. Now, I agree that there are some people who absolutely are just not cut out for that life, just like how there are people that aren't cut out for all sorts of situations that they're in. And some people are very cut out for the situations that they're in and that sort of mm-hmm. life. And I know that they're trying to separate those people into those groups. But yeah, the Michonne kicking ass in this episode was pretty great. I like how she meets that woman in the consignment line or whatever, where they're just
mm-hmm.
killing herds of walkers or whatever. And she's just like, you know, I don't know. You just seem like somebody who knows their shit. And she's like, how do you know? And she's like, I don't know. I can tell. You just seem like somebody who has a lot of shit that they know. And right. then they get into some trouble. A couple of the walkers that they thought were dead weren't dead. And Michonne kicks ass and also uses a walker's head to like throw yeah. another walker to kill a walker.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up
yeah.
because I saw that and I was like, that's amazing.
Yes.
And that was amazing.
And she just looks at her and she's like, yeah, you know your shit. Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely a main character on a television show.
Oh yeah.
I always thought if the idea is for her to not appear like she's such a strong survivor, she's doing a really bad job of it.
That I think that was the plan, but yeah. she's just Michonne.
Yeah. A force of nature. Yeah. You can't yeah. really contain her. But yeah, they were. So Rick's plan really was not necessarily to for him to escape, but. Mm-hmm. You know, and it feels like, and look, a little spoiler for the next episode, and a preview for the next episode, because I watched the preview for the next episode.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
It feels like he's finally going to do in that episode what he should have done in this episode, which is explain to her why.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't, yes. like, at no point until near the end of the episode is he like, do you remember Jadis? Jadis is here, and she was in one of those rooms that you did your yeah. interview in, and she knows you're here, and you know, then he can explain to her, this is why I can't leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we both leave, she's going to know. We'd be the first people to escape this ever. There'd be a huge manhunt for us, and she knows right where to lead them to.
Mm-hmm.
They would find us and kill everybody. It's like an impossible situation. And that's why one of us has to stay. But she didn't know any of that. And of course she was mad at Rick. But then I really did like that scene where they explained the iPhone engravings. That there was,
that was beautiful.
An artist in town, and he knew like her name, and he knew Judith. And they we got a Carl mention, which is so nice. That was sweet, but apparently he could never draw Carl right, which is great. So this way they would never have to pay for like a likeness or something, a likeness fee to the actor. Like, oh man, the artist could just never draw him properly. I'm like, just draw a kid with a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
The cowboy hat on. Whatever. It's okay. But she saw that and, you know, knew like he was telling the truth. I think maybe she faltered for a little bit and thought maybe he wasn't the same person, but he is, and he's telling the truth. Just he took a very television-y way of waiting a long time to just tell her the thing he should have told her in the first place. So it does feel like he is going to actually end up telling her tomorrow on the next episode, but even then, I still have a feeling Michonne is going to be like, I don't know. I think we can beat him.
She's determined.
She's determined. Really and, determined.
And I did like the scene where Jadis is telling Rick, you know, the whole thing, the whole threat of if you escape, I'm going to kill everybody, you know. And then he's like, but I tried to escape before and you didn't try to stop me. And she said, well, I knew you weren't going to get out. And he said, what changed? And she's like, you and Michonne together can accomplish anything. So now she's scared that he's going to leave. And I thought that was an amazing line. That's true. Like, them together, they can take that whole place down. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. So I'm that's why I'm kind of like shocked a little bit that Rick is so hesitant. I know that he's being threatened by everybody he knows is gonna die, but he has that threat before. I don't know. We'll see what happens now that they're out.
I'm trying to think. With Thorn. So her story is getting interesting as well. So with Okafor dead, her confidence in the three of them and like their plans or how they wanted to go about handling things has suddenly been shaken quite a lot. And she's really unsure about, you know, should I just fall in line? Should we stick together? That sort of thing. And then she finds herself getting promoted and it's even more shaky ground for her now. And I sort of like had a lot of tension between Rick and her in this episode. You've had that bit where she wants to recruit Michonne into her team, but she's ready to kill Michonne with, you know, her knife, and Rick is ready to shoot her. But then when nothing happens, he was like, I was ready to back you up. Like, just trying to, you know, because she seems very unstable, at least when it comes to that, because her...
Do you think that she is in love with Rick?
I don't know. I sort of got those vibes. It's so tough, Aurora, because watch enough TV and you see any, like, man-woman combination put together in any sort of, like, really tough situation, and it's almost impossible not to think about them developing feelings for one another.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, she called him family.
She called him family, but I feel like there's like a blurred line there between her authority.
Yes.
And the authority that she feels over Michonne and Rick. And also like the relationship she has developed with Rick. And I think that she, because when she tried to like shoot Michonne, I was like, that's kind of like a very out there response to her, you know, stepping out of line. But she stepped out of line and kind of like saved some people. So,
because she did disobey orders. And to, And to Rick, she was like, that's why I was going to shoot her. Because it was such a flagrant disregard for orders. But I don't know. The way they... I have the same feelings you had. The way they set up the shot. The way they kind of just held on her. And she, the way she was thinking about doing it almost felt like she could sense that there's something between these two.
Like she was jealous.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I sort of got those vibes too. And maybe that is just reading way too much into it. But I don't know. Those shots didn't help the way she was so reticent to pull the trigger. Yeah.
And honestly, honestly, also, I think Rick and Michonne are trying their best to hide their relationship, but they keep staring at each other in a way that I'm like, everybody knows, dude. Yeah.
I mean, they run from that like noisemaker bomb thingy.
Yeah.
And then they take cover behind a tree and then they just start kissing. And I'm like, PDA guys, you were out in public.
Yes. Like, and it was a it wasn't like a full tree trunk. It was like two trees together. So there was like a hole in between. And I was like, they're going to see you.
I know. I felt, I'm like, don't do this, guys. I've never actively rooted for two people in love not to like be affectionate with one another before. But I was like, this is terrible. What are you doing?
Yeah. And there's a moment where she's like walking away from like after that scene where she throws the head of the walker to kill another one. He comes by and she walks by him. She doesn't look at him, but he just stares at her the whole way. And it was like,
turns his head.
Just try to hide it a little bit.
You get that feeling of like when you're at a sleepover at a friend's house and you're all talking in the middle of the night and you hear the parent, like the kid's parent, get up and start walking around and everyone's like, shut up, shut up. They're going to find out. Right. Be quiet. You're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it. And like every time they were doing that, I'm like, you guys could not. I'm waiting for somebody to be like, so you guys are together, right? And he's like, what? Right. And he's like, no, it's really obvious. Yeah, we're all talking about it back at the barracks. Yeah. We're all talking about it. Like, it's so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. And he keeps telling her, you know, like, stop there. Just go to that room over there. We're going to talk. And I'm like, there's people around.
They just went into an alley with like a bunch of windows. Yes. What are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing they haven't been
caught. They're not hiding it that well.
I mean, it's really easy for us because obviously we're just watching everything that they are filmed doing. So maybe maybe it seems more obvious to us because we're literally watching it. But I don't know. It feels like it's not that secret. Yep. Well, we'll see how well that goes. I mean, so far, things are about to get really bad, I guess. What with the whole deciding to fling both of them out of a helicopter. Here's what I want to know. How did, like, because they're flying in a storm, like a thunderstorm, which, by the way, terrible idea to do in a helicopter. And the helicopter is experiencing like all sorts of turbulence. And, you know, maybe if they get caught, their excuse could be like, oh, it was so turbulent in there. We were just like, whoa, and fell out. But how low to the ground were they flying? Or were they flying over water? Did Michonne know this? Because,
I mean, it's night. It's nighttime.
Yeah, and it was raining and windy and the chopper was being rocked all over the place, and I'm pretty sure they weren't wearing parachutes, but maybe they were.
No. I don't know.
I hope they were, if they weren't, because otherwise that's really dangerous to sort of just jump out of one of those blindly.
Yeah. My guess is that there's water underneath.
That's my guess too. Yeah. That they were flying over a lake or something.
But still, that's very high. Like, even if you like drop very high into water, you can still like break your bones.
Yeah, you can still, people have done that to themselves by jumping off of really high bridges.
Yeah.
They must have had a parachute or something. Yeah. One of them must have been wearing an emergency chute or something. There has to have been something. The more I think about this, the more it's like, wait, how did they survive this?
I'm confused also if Michonne like pulled Rick without him knowing, or if they were in on it together. Because
no, this felt to me like, we were getting these inner monologues from Michonne, I guess. I don't know if she's mm-hmm. talking to RJ or Judith or all of them. I don't know who she's talking to in them.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just like, the last one was just like, hey, everybody, I'm sorry. And like, it, to me, that felt like I'm grabbing Rick. Because I don't feel like this was a plan. I mean, maybe it was an elaborate plan, but I don't think it was. And the preview for the next show felt like Rick was like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this was just Michonne thinking she had an opportunity. She was going to seize it. And I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I suppose there's only, we're halfway done with this mm-hmm. season? Question mark. I guess we'll see how it ends will really be a determining factor as
right.
to whether or not we're going to get more of this. But yeah, mm-hmm. the numbers have started to climb for the show, so that's good.
Good.
This episode had the most viewers of all of them so far, so I'm going to take that to mean that word of mouth has gotten mm-hmm. around, and I'm going to give us 2% credit for that, Aurora.
It's because of this podcast.
Yeah, okay, okay. Well, I was trying to be humble and say 2 instead of like 80. But, we didn't play. I feel like we've played at least a small part.
Yes.
And word getting out that this is a good show and people should go watch mm-hmm. it. Yep. Any final thoughts on episode 3? And what would you give it?
I will just want to say that I did enjoy Rick telling Jadis that she had a shitty haircut.
Oh, that, yeah. Like an unnecessary jab at Jadis that he's just like, I even forget what he said. He was just like something
with a shitty haircut. I think he said shitty haircut. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he said before it, but he was just like, you're just a something something with a shitty haircut or whatever. And she smiled, though. She was like, yeah, you got me.
It's like she knows. It's like she knows.
Yeah. Like, it'll grow back. I liked it better when it was longer, too.
She's always had weird haircuts,
though. Oh, 100%.
That's kind of like her thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I so far this has been my favorite episode.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, I'm holding on to a 5 because I feel like it's coming.
Okay.
Later, so I'm gonna give this a 4.5. I really liked it.
Okay, I gave this a 4.25, but we're pretty close to one another on that mm-hmm. one. Yeah, I know you're holding out for a 5. I feel mm-hmm. like we're gonna get something really good.
Yes,
they've all been really good though. Mm-hmm. The this particular format for Walking Dead, I think, has proven to be a success because I really like Dead City. I really like Daryl Dixon, and mm-hmm. I'm really liking this. And, you know, maybe they have done all that they can with a season double the size of this, cutting it down to more concise number of episodes really feels like it's working.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan, and I can't mm-hmm. wait for more. But we have to wait for more, because that is the nature of television and time. So, while everyone is waiting, Aurora and I are going to go wait, but you can go catch up on the show if you want, or you can catch up on some of the other shows we mentioned by heading over to cinemageekly.com. You can find the archives of the show there. All of the episodes are available to listen to. This is also a listener-supported podcast. If you'd like to help us out here at Cinema Geekly, you can. There are a couple ways to do that. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly, and our merch store, geeklymerch.com. We'll have links for those in the show notes for this episode. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Audible, anywhere you find good podcasts. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time, where we will talk about more The Walking Dead, colon, The Ones Who Lived, episode, The Ones Who Live, pardon me, not lived, that's past tense. we're looking for present tense. The Ones Who Live, episode 4, called What We...